We will be recording this phone call and posting it on our business forecast website shortly after it's complete. We will also be posting all of the Q&A that we have, that we received this time around, as well as a transcript of the conference call on our business forecast website. And we will send out a message through our email distribution list to everyone as soon as it's posted, as well as we'll also tweet it out to folks. So you hopefully get it a couple of different ways. We're excited to do the call this morning. I think we have around 400 people that RSVP'd for the phone call. We've got a number of folks in the room here, which I'll introduce in 1 second. This quarter around, we received over 270 questions, and of those questions, a lot of those questions have multiple parts to it, so probably close to around 350 different questions. So we greatly appreciate everyone's interest in our business forecast, and we are thankful for the questions that you guys do have. I think there's a lot of good substantive questions. I'm happy to say that as of this morning, about 10 minutes ago, we actually have answers to every single question that was submitted to us, which was, I appreciate all of our CEO staff and folks around the world trying to get answers to that many questions when you're dealing with 80 to 90 different operating units, offices, missions. It's quite a task, but we appreciate all of our staff for their ability to get answers turned around to us quickly. Similar to what we've done in previous calls, rather than go through all of the questions that we received, which would take several hours, we're just going to highlight a few of the general questions that we received, keep the call probably to about 20 minutes or so, and then as soon as the call's done, we'll wrap up all of our documents for the call, get them posted online, and send it out to you guys. I know we've done that in the past. I think folks have appreciated a shorter call with the questions just getting posted online. So with that, I want to introduce the couple folks that we're going to have answering questions. We've got Tanisha Alston, who's a senior program manager from our Office of Small Disadvantaged Business Utilization. We've got Jamie Rogers, who is a division chief within our Washington Operations Office. We have Sunil Xavier here, who's our deputy director of foreign operations, and Roy Plucknett, who's our director of the Office of Acquisition Assistance. So with that, I want to turn it over to Roy real quick just to give a few brief introductory remarks, and then we'll go into our Q&A.
Oh, great. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for kicking us off, and thanks to everyone for joining us for our third quarter business forecast call for FY 2016. Thank you for your interest in working with USAID. As our partners, you folks play a critical role in helping us achieve our mission and vision as an agency of ending extreme poverty. By 2013, which is a key SDG goal for helping the developing world. Now, last time we organized a business forecast call, I had just joined MOAA as director, and since that time, I've had the pleasure and opportunity to meet with all five partner associations, Interaction, Inside NGO, PSC, SID Washington, and SPAIC, as well as many of you. And I also had the pleasure and opportunity to participate in the one-day OSDBU annual conference, which was a great success. And in each of these meetings, the importance of the business forecast has been raised, and I want to reiterate that we're committed to making it the best tool possible. Since our last call, we've made a number of internal improvements to our process, as well as our guidance on the business forecast. First, we developed an interactive webinar video. It was recorded and posted on our internal website for all ANA professionals around the world to follow along with best practices for entering information into our ANA plan in order to have everything accurately possible published in the business forecast. Second, a one-pager on the business forecast was created and distributed to our staff around the world, and it includes quarterly internal due dates, production processes, information about activities to include on the forecast, as well as additional things to keep in mind. In the reminder section of the document, we reiterate the importance of choice of instrument, accuracy of dates, adequate award descriptions, mechanism types, solicitation numbers, and whether or not it includes a small business component. As many of you know, all planned are currently open competitive ANA opportunities above $150,000 are posted on the business forecast. But as a best practice, we have encouraged our staff to also include all awards under the $150,000 threshold. Additionally, we revamped our internal process and guidance for creating the business forecast. As a result, I'm happy to say that the internal production process of posting the forecast has gone from 8 weeks to about 8 days. For you, this means getting information that is more timely, accurate, and helpful. And finally, we plan to keep a tighter schedule in the future to ensure the business forecast is released around the same time each quarter. You can begin to expect the forecast to be released by the end of the month of each quarter, into the first month of each quarter. This means you should see the forecast published in late October, January, April, and July. Now, I hope with these changes and improvements to the process, you're beginning to see improvements in the forecast. As I've shared a number of times, we're committed to continuing to improve the forecast, and we welcome and appreciate your input and suggestions. Once again, I want to thank you for joining us today and for the time you've taken to submit your questions. They were very thorough and very helpful. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, Roy. I want to dive into some of the questions here. And you mentioned about awards over $150,000. I know at the small business conference, and I think I've heard this question probably like four or five times actually over the last month from folks about actions that are under $150,000. Obviously, we know that all actions over $150,000 are included on the business forecast, but smaller amounts are not. Is there anything that we can do to actually get those solicitations less than $150,000 on the forecast?
Well, we're going to try to work in that direction. Currently, our ADS policies only require actions of over 150 to be included on the forecast. However, in the guidance we send to our A&A professionals around the world, we encourage all awards, regardless of dollar value, to be included in the forecast. And this is the best practice we're going to continue to communicate to our staff. I want to note that many of the actions that are under 150 are done by our agency's executive officers around the world. And we're looking to see how we could potentially begin to capture their transactions in the A&A plan and what policy changes would be needed to be updated in order to capture those transactions in the business forecast. I also want to note that our XOs are required by the federal acquisition regulations to put solicitations that are over $25,000 on fesbidops.gov. And for actions that are over $15,000 but under $25,000, they're required to be posted in a public place for no less than 10 days. Now, while the FAR doesn't provide specifics on where they must be posted, in many cases, they're published in local newspapers, on the embassy or USAID website at the missions, or on fesbidops.gov. So even though they're not on the business forecast, they are still made publicly available for competition. We'll continue to look into this issue to see how we can work to capture these on the business forecast. So thank you. Thanks for the question.
Thank you, Roy. I want to turn over to Tanisha from our small business office. This is a question I've seen come up a couple of times. I'm just going to read the question. So as USAID is aware, some businesses can graduate from small to large under a NEXT code and yet still be qualified to bid under the GSA schedule if they receive their schedule while still small and their schedule is still valid. Can USAID please clarify which definition of small businesses guide USAID's approach? Is it the small business schedule classification? Is it the NEXT code classification?
Okay. Thank you, Matt. First, let me say the agency defines a small business in accordance with the FAR Parts 2 and 19. In terms of AIDS approach, requirement is often based on the procurement's complexity, urgency, and other factors that may have an impact on the acquisition process. It is at the discretion of the contracting officer to utilize the GSA schedules. In regards to the use of the GSA schedules, a firm under a schedule which has outgrown its small business status may be considered for a set-aside. If the requirement is an open market small business set-aside, the corresponding NAICS code must be used to confirm the business size status as well as the firm's data in the System for Award Management, also known as SAM. Thank you.
Thank you. So the answer is, I guess, it depends.
It depends.
Yeah. Okay. I want to turn over to Jamie for the next couple of questions. I think appreciate every quarter we get suggestions on things that we can be doing better in the business forecast. So I want to ask a couple of questions of Jamie. Jamie is the one that actually helped develop the ANA plan for the agency. So anytime we have a question about the actual tool, we go to Jamie and ask Jamie questions. So Jamie, the first question is on the small business column on the forecast. I think a lot of folks noted that most every entry actually just had NA or not applicable on the entry. Obviously, that is probably not the case for a lot of entries. The suggestion was, could a more appropriate entry be the type of set aside, to be determined, no, or not applicable on the forecast?
Thanks, Matt. We agree with this statement, and we're certainly looking at updating the ANA planning tool to include some of these options. And I just kind of want to point out that over the last quarter, we've done a lot of outreach to our staff on the business forecast, and part of this outreach is centered around the small business set aside and making sure that ANA professionals are marking that column appropriately. So we'll continue to emphasize this, and we'll look at clarifying those potential responses in the next business forecast.
Thank you. One of the other questions are related to implementing partner versus incumbent partner that was on the business forecast. I think those terms have kind of been used interchangeably on the forecast, and I think when folks have seen implementing partner, they're thinking that this who the organization is that's actually getting the award versus incumbent partner who actually has an existing award that this is a follow-on to. Can you provide some clarity on what we're doing with the forecast, whether
Sure.
implementing partner or incumbent partner?
And we agree, you know, that the column should indicate incumbent partner to avoid this sort of confusion. So we have this change pending with our system developers, too.
Thank you. The other question is on tech ranges. I think in some of our business forecast phone calls, you know, a year or so ago, we talked about narrowing down tech ranges on the forecast. Can you share any status update of what's going on with the tech ranges?
Sure. So we've made some changes since the initial business forecast based on partner feedback, and we're always happy to hear from you. For example, we did add some specificity for awards greater than $500 million. From the initial ranges used in earlier versions, we actually broke those up into smaller bands, and we're open to considering additional updates to tech ranges to help you better pursue specific opportunities. So in that vein, if you have suggestions for what might be more meaningful to you, please send them to our ombudsman@usa.gov, and we'll take a look at them and see what we can do in terms of incorporating changes.
Thank you. Roy, I want to come back over to you. I think you talked a little bit about this in your intro remarks, but in some cases, folks have noted that information is not sufficient for an organization. Information in the business forecast isn't sufficient for an organization to really even get a sense of what the program is. For example, the description column has very little information, or the specific IDIQ or mechanism that a task order is going to be issued under isn't listed in it. Can you share anything that we're doing to improve the information that's actually included in the forecast?
Oh, sure. Thanks, Matt. Thanks for the question. As I mentioned earlier, over the last quarter, we've done a significant amount of outreach to our staff around the world, looking for ways to improve the business forecast, both in accuracy and timeliness. This also included updating our guidance on the intranet page and creating a one-page cheat sheet for updating the forecast that was given to all staff. And we also conducted a webinar on how to properly update the forecast. Now, there are a few areas we particularly stressed in all of our outreach with our staff around the world. First, staff must include the vehicle on the forecast if the action will come out of the task order. Secondly, if folks don't know the mechanism that will be used for the activity, we're requesting that they write "to be determined" in the column, but as soon as they do know the mechanism, they will include it on the next forecast. Importantly also, we're asking that they verify once and again that the dates are correct and that if there's a solicitation number to make sure it's included on the forecast. We also are asking them to make sure they fill out the small business column on the forecast and finally to ensure that the award description adequately describes the planned activity. Now, I think, as far as I'm concerned, in our most recent forecast, we've seen a great improvement both in the accuracy and the timeliness. And I think our staff around the world has done an excellent job on this, and I thank them for that. Thank you.
Thanks, Roy. We just have two more general questions I want to cover, and they're both related to our mission forecast. So I want to turn over to Sunil, who's our Deputy Director of Foreign Operations. Sunil, a lot of folks, or several folks, commented that some countries have a low number of forecasted procurements. Does USAID do anything to verify that missions have actually made a reasonable effort to complete the forecast? But in addition, you know, folks have noted that USAID's programs in over 80 countries, but only 57 countries this time around were represented on the forecast. Is there anything that we're doing to, the USAID is doing to check to make sure that missions are actually filling out the forecast properly, that if a mission's missing, that the opportunity, that there are no new opportunities there, or that all the opportunities have actually been included on the forecast from the missions?
Yes. Each quarter we do a significant amount of outreach to our missions to ensure that they're entering the information into the ANA planning tool for our business forecast. If you've been following the forecast for the last year or so, I think you'll agree that there's been a lot of improvements in both the quality of data as well as consistency of information provided. I'm happy to see that all of our missions have answered all the questions. Even today we got our last answer from South Sudan around 8 o'clock, so I'm very happy to see that. While there's always room for improvement, we hope to make even more progress. Yesterday during a meeting with Roy, we discussed how we can better do a job of communicating when missions do not have any upcoming opportunities or very few opportunities. Each quarter, my office, Foreign Operations, reviews the information on the forecast before it's published. Starting next quarter, we're going to reach out to missions and filter the forecast for missions that have zero or very few opportunities listed, and then we'll reach out to those missions. With this additional step, we'll begin to footnote in the mission forecast specific missions that have no opportunities available for the quarter, just to confirm that.
That's great. I know that's something that a lot of folks have been asking for a while, to note when the missions do not have anything. One of the other frequently asked questions is about point of contacts. At the missions, obviously listed on the mission forecast is a point of contact. However, in the agency staff directory, there's no way to find their contact information. I know we've talked about different ways for the folks to get in touch with mission point of contacts. Can you share any update on that?
Sure, you're correct. The contact information for mission staff is not available in USAID's global directory. Also, as many of you know, there's always constant turnover of our Foreign Service contracting officers in the field. Previously, we instructed partners to email our ombudsman if they needed to get in touch with someone working overseas and did not have contact information. During our meeting yesterday, we discussed this issue and came up with what I think is a good solution. We'll be asking all of our missions to set up standard email boxes for inquiries and questions, something along the lines of like a OAA Kenya at USAID.gov or OAA Ethiopia at USAID.gov. Some of our missions already do have this, but we want to make sure that all of them do, and we hope by the next quarter that all missions will have this email address, and we'll publish the contact information on the Business Forecast webpage for you to use.
I think that's great. I know that's something that a lot of folks have been asking for a while, and I know that, and Krista gets a lot of questions from folks as well. So that is it for our general questions that we have on the Business Forecast. I want to thank everyone in the room as well as folks on the phone for joining us this morning. Like I mentioned earlier, we're trying to keep it short today, and we will post all of the full Q&A of all of your specific questions related to opportunities on our Business Forecast website later today. As soon as we get that posted, we'll tweet out a message as well as send out an email to our distribution list. So thank you again, everyone, for joining us, and we look forward to talking to you next time. Thanks. Bye.